At long last, the Arizona legislature has voted to sign on to the multi-state drought contingency plan. Why then does it seem we're not out of the water yet? More news from the feds on Friday, not even 24 hours after Governor Doug Ducey signed the legislation that was supposed to clear the way forward. And someone had the bright idea of tackling tax conformity on the same day legislators were voting on water. What comes next on that front? You're listening to The Breakdown. Hey there, podcast listeners. I'm your host, Katie Campbell, and we're starting off today, as we have so many days before now, with water. Unfortunately, our water expert Carmen Foreman is not here with us because we are inconveniently recording on Friday, and some very important water news has just broke. As you might know by now, the legislature voted to pass the drought contingency plan last week. It passed unanimously in the House. There was a few Democratic holdouts over in the Senate. But the job was done. The job that we have been waiting for was done on time, hours before the deadline. Governor Doug Ducey convened a press conference at the old Capitol right after and signed the legislation right around 5:30. And that was supposed to be the end of it. Then we wake up this morning to a federal phone call regarding the drought contingency plan, and we learned it might not be that easy. Now, unfortunately, I am not our expert on water, so I'm just going to take a look at what Carmen was sending out to the world on Friday morning to explain what happened. So essentially, despite Arizona passing the drought contingency plan on Thursday, the feds are still stepping in because the lower basin drought plan is not complete. The Bureau of Reclamation Commissioner Brenda Berman said, "While we are getting closer, we are not still done." So, what's happening next? The feds will put out a federal registry notice to solicit feedback on next steps from March 4th through March 19th. And if all parties finalize the DCP by March 4th, the feds will cancel the notice. So basically what that means is they're still looking at us, and they're looking at a few holdout water districts over in California. So what Brenda Berman wants from Arizona is she wants the finalized water agreements between the tribes, the state, CAP, water districts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Essentially, the agreements that would have completed the Arizona part of the drought plan. These were things we were anticipating the state to take care of after signing on to the multi-state plan by the deadline. From what I understand, experts around here thought that that was very much in play, that we could pass this plan by January 31st, the plan that signed us on to the multi-state plan, and kind of handle our in-house issues afterwards. We still have several bills on the table regarding those specific details. And the way I understood it was we were going to come back and handle those once we told the feds we are good to go. Now, that does not appear to be enough. It looks like Brenda Berman wants more from Arizona and, again, those holdout districts over in California. Basically, what I'm saying is water isn't over yet. I think that's something we all knew yesterday. Governor Ducey and legislators spoke about that. Really, this was just the beginning of a long-term conversation around conservation and Arizona's water future. But these early steps that lawmakers were so excited to take on Thursday, they're not quite complete. Really? We're just under the gun now. So we're going to be having more details from Carmen. This episode is airing on Monday. So go back, check your yellow sheet report, check your legislative report, check your Arizona Capitol Times. Hopefully we have some more details about what this means over the weekend. And we'll be updating you all week long about next steps, what the legislature has to do. And it looks like we're looking at yet another deadline. So fingers crossed, we can do it again. I know that was a super short first half, but we are going to take a super quick break so that I can catch my breath and I can reconvene with my team here. We got Ben Giles in the studio to talk about tax conformity. Stay with us. Can't wait for your weekly Arizona Capitol Times? Then subscribe to the Yellow Sheet Report. The Yellow Sheet Report brings you the latest news and hottest political gossip in town every day, thanks to our trusty team of reporters. And with the legislative session right around the corner, there's no better time than now to get in the know with the Yellow Sheet Report. Learn more at yellowsheetreport.com today. Welcome back to The Breakdown. We've got another short episode, shortish episode for you guys this week, unfortunately, but we have some very big topics to talk about. And here to help me sort through one of the biggest ones, tax conformity, is Senate reporter Ben Giles. So, Ben, as legislators were getting ready to sign off on the DCP last week, they also slipped tax conformity in there, something that they've been at odds with the governor on. At least the Republicans have. Democrats have largely said that they stand with Governor Ducey's conform and not reform plan. But what happened exactly? Where did we leave last week?
Well, Katie, on Thursday, we left things at a stalemate. The Republican-controlled House and Senate both approved bills that attempt to reduce the, I'm using air quotes here, windfall that Arizona may receive from tax collections this year. What's happened is in December 2017, the federal tax code change, Trump signed a bill that reduced taxes at the federal level. And anytime the federal tax code changes, Arizona goes through this yearly exercise of, again, air quotes, conforming to the tax code. And that could mean any different number of things. Traditionally, what it means is just a simple matching of areas of the tax code in the federal code that impact the tax code in the state code. And it's just kind of like getting things up to speed. And it's just kind of this annual exercise that nobody ever bats an eye at until now, because some of the changes that the Fed's made, analysts estimate, could have a significant impact on Arizona taxpayers in the form of increased taxes at the state level. Those estimates vary wildly, anywhere from like $150 million to more than $200 million. And what Republican lawmakers said to the governor on Thursday is, we're not going to sit idly by and wait to see if that's what happens. We're going to pass this bill, which reduces everyone's income tax bracket in Arizona. Whatever bracket you're in, however much money you make, the rate that you would pay is being reduced by 0.11 percentage points. That's estimated to wipe out a projected $150 million windfall in new tax collections. That's from the Joint Legislative Budget Committee.
And now, obviously, I was holding on for dear life over at the House on Thursday as this conversation was going on. But in my chamber, the Democrats were not happy with this plan. They argued this is not the time to cut taxes. As they've said for years, they want more money in education, and they're saying this money could go to that. How did the Senate Democrats react?
Well, actually, they were pretty quiet on the floor debate, but they have said throughout the process, as have their colleagues in the House, that they would prefer to just kind of see what happens. And they've actually tried to align themselves with the governor on this issue. Governor Doug Ducey has made it clear that he wants to conform in the traditional sense, just kind of the copy and paste method that Arizona traditionally uses, rather than tweaking the state tax code to try and make sure that fewer taxes are collected. And his pitch on that is, we don't know if the impact is going to be $150 million. There's no way of knowing what the impact will be. Everybody agrees on that, actually. No one's really going to know what taxes that were collected for the 2008 tax year are a result of the changes that were made in the federal tax code and the corresponding changes made in the state tax code. No one will know. $150 million is just like a best guess. And even the sponsors of the bill, Representatives Ben Toma and Senator J.D. Mesnard, will acknowledge that. But they say a best guess is better than nothing. Ducey prefers, let's not take a guess. Let's just take what we get and let's put it in the rainy day fund. And Democrats are trying to align themselves with that, except they want the money, but they don't want it in the rainy day fund. Democrats in both chambers have expressed a desire to spend the money on infrastructure, spend the money on K through 12 schools, spend the money on pretty much anything that they argue have still not been fully restored since the recession, that's still in need of new funding. And even if it's tens of thousands or tens of millions or $150 million or $200 million, it's better than nothing, they say.
Just to back up for a hot second, Ben, I think at one point you said 2008. Of course, he was referring to 2018. So that's the Democrat stance. And if you were at Morning Scoop last week, you actually heard the Democratic leadership saying, I stand with the governor. I believe that was Senate Minority Leader David Bradley, and House Minority Leader Charlene Fernandez also seconded that. But what about the Republicans? Were Republicans united on this front?
Yes, actually, all but one. All 31 Republicans in the House voted for it. 16 Republicans in the Senate voted for it. The only outlier there was Senator Kate Brophy McGee of Phoenix, who on the campaign trail last year and throughout her tenure at the Capitol has kind of made waves about being in favor of K-12 education. I interpreted that vote as, yes, this is an opportunity to take some extra cash that might be going to the state coffers and put it towards schools. Now the big question is, and we didn't really get a good answer about this on Friday from the governor, is what does Ducey do with it? Because here it's the legislature saying, this is what we want to do, and we've got the willpower to pass it and send it to your desk. If he vetoes it, we're back to square one, and that gets into this awkward situation where what if they don't pass any legislation to conform in any way? Then we're just left with applying the rules that Arizona adopted for the 2017 tax year to the 2018 tax year. I'll be honest, I don't really know what the hell happens if that's the case, but everybody's talking about that as if it's a complete non-starter. But what happens? Then we get into a staring contest between the governor and the Republicans in the legislature. So it'll be very interesting to see if Ducey vetoes this and if he sends the lawmakers back to the drawing table. And then if he does, what do the lawmakers do? Do they try and override it? Do they try and pass it again? This could get weird, especially at a time when people are already filing their taxes.
Oh, and things do have a habit of getting weird down there at the Capitol. Let's look forward a little bit, though, Ben. What are you looking forward to this week? What bills are on your mind?
Just generally, I'm looking forward to some more floor debate. I spoke with Senate President Karen Fan last week, and she told me that there are a couple of bills that have gone through rules and have gone through caucus, and they're going to start cowing and third reading bills on the Senate floor. If I was to highlight anything, I would look out for two, maybe three bills, actually, sponsored by Senator Ugenti Rita that make some changes to Arizona's election law. There was some very divisive debate and a lot of disagreement, frankly, between legislative Republicans on the Judiciary Committee who are trying to make changes to the election law and county recorders and county officials who are actually responsible for implementing it. We'll see what happens with those bills. Also late last week, two more bills were introduced, four actually, competing plans to again raise the Prop 301 sales tax up to a penny. These plans came from Representatives Michelle Udall and Senator Kate Brophy McGee. These are the competing proposals to Senator Allen's plan to raise the tax to a full penny. They just have differences of opinion over how to split up the money between K-12 schools, universities, community colleges, etc. So we probably will see some debate on those issues, perhaps in the Senate Education Committee this coming week.
And gee, I guess it's kind of my job now, too, to have a legislative look ahead. As you can imagine, my chamber is ever so slightly preoccupied with the ongoing case against Representative David Stringer. If you didn't catch my update episode on Friday, just laying out what exactly happened last week, and a lot happened last week, go take a listen to that. We will be watching to see how the ethics investigation gets off the ground and if it gets off the ground this week, who exactly the outside counsel is going to be that they're going to bring in to handle that, and what the process is from here. This is somewhat uncharted territory in a way, or at least uncharted for this round of representatives who maybe weren't around in, say, 2012 when we were looking into former Senator Scott Bungard. But again, just go back and listen to that episode. It has a lot more information than I'm giving you here. On the legislative front, though, last week we saw an interesting bill make it through the House Government Committee regarding landlords and tenants' rights, basically making that a statewide issue. I'm curious to see where that goes. Representative Walter Blackman, one of our freshmen, voted in favor of advancing the bill, but he had some serious reservations, saying he is not okay with government overreach, and it sounded like he might consider this bill to be doing exactly that. It'll be interesting to see how many of his colleagues side with him on that front. And there's oh so much more that we could talk about, but we just don't have time for. You know who does have time? The Arizona Capital Times. Check us out online, in print. Check out your yellow sheet and ledge reports. Again, look out for those water updates. We recorded this episode early on Friday, just as more water news was breaking. Carmen Forman is going to be all over that, but certainly making Arizona's water future a little less certain than it was last week. If you've got tips, tricks, comments, reach out to us. We love to hear from you. And thanks, as always, for listening.